Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Blues Day recap, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, a little bit of boxing. Picking up on the sports at large, trying to get it all in one swoop. Without further ado, the American League and the National League standings have not changed too much drastically since the last time we talked about this several weeks ago. From both sides of the leagues, of the AL and the NL, things are pretty much still remain in par, and a lot of things have not changed, and we haven't seen this in a while. And with the new current format with teams, with the wild card situation, with the wild card format. But there's been a couple of changes on the NL side with the wild card, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm gonna first focus on the AL. And on the AL side, of course, in the AL East, the Yankees still ahead by a couple of games. They actually gained ground the last time we talked several weeks ago. Between the Yankees and the Orioles, and I know they have another head-to-head series coming up. But this past series over the weekend against their rival Boston Red Sox, taking 2 out of 3, good way to get a little bit of breathing room from the Baltimore Orioles. And we all know the MVP of the AL is definitely going to be Aaron Judge. He's had his record-setting season and RBIs up until this point, and still going to add on more by the time we get to the end of September. But adding, obviously, guys or the sluggers back into the lineup like Giancarlo Stanton to help keep pitchers at bay. The Yankees are in a very good position to win the AL East as long as they don't fuck it up one of the series for the rest of this month, in particular the Baltimore Orioles. Now, when we look at the Baltimore Orioles, they're still holding strong as far as keeping pace with the Yankees despite their injuries earlier on in the season. They've had some big games this year, some big series wins this year. And if they don't get in as far as an AL East divisional winner like they did the previous season, they'll definitely be there in a wild card situation as they are 4.5 games up on the wild card, you know, with their top seed. So it's between them and I guess the Kansas City Royals when it's the top two in the AL on the wild card side of things. But then also there's teams trailing those teams with like the Detroit, Seattle, Boston. Detroit and Seattle in particular, 2.5 games behind Kansas City for that last wild card playoff spot, which they'll play head to head, obviously, to get in to place the top seeded team in the AL, which as of right now is between Cleveland and the Yankees. But yeah, the AL East, the Yankees would definitely love to win a division and avoid a wild card situation, what Baltimore is in right now. When we talk about the Cleveland Guardians, same thing. They were pretty much leading this division for the majority of summer. Earlier on, we saw teams like Kansas City and Cleveland at the top of the heap. And then we thought, Minnesota, what is going on with the Twins? Are they going to make a run eventually or essentially? That run has never came to fruition this season, this regular season, where the Twins, I thought, would have caught the Kansas City Royals or would have caught the Cleveland Guardians by now to uphold the AL Central. But when you look at the wild card situation, I would say the division out in the AL West, and I'll get to the wild card. The AL West, Houston's running things. That hasn't really changed for the most part. Most of this regular season where we saw Texas take a big step back. They had injuries, of course, World Series hangover, of course. Seattle is just kind of who they are. Thought they would have took a stronger leap to compete in the NL West. In the AL West to win the division, but they did not this year. And it's the same old Houston Astros in the AL West. And so it really comes down to the wild card right now where – Obviously, the last wild card spot, which currently is held by the Kansas City Royals. I talked about them the last time we talked on the baseball, how everything is led by from the pitching side by Seth Lugo, and then of course on the hitting side by the hitting side with Bobby Witt, the shortstop, the infielder, having an amazing season right now, and also the great catcher Salvador Perez for the Kansas City Royals. Now, speaking of Kansas City, their case, we haven't really seen much relevance out of the Kansas City Royals, more so and maybe in a decade when they played in the World Series and defeated the Mets. But as far as right now, about a decade later, they've put it together a nice season. And it takes a while, especially in this sport. We're probably going to be talking about this 10 years from now when the White Sox get back to reemergence, hopefully for them, where Kansas City has done a very good job adding some good baseball prospects through their farm system. And it has them in a position to compete in the AL Central. So they were actually a team to make leaps and bounds. Even before the Minnesota Twins, which is a little surprising to me because I didn't think they were going to be able to do that this season. But right now in the wild card, it's between the Orioles and the Royals. Right now, these are the two teams locked in, and I think they're going to hold firm or hold their standing in the wild card standings right now. Now, I am a little bit surprised with the Detroit Tigers. I thought they've played some okay baseball for the last couple of months. And the fact that they're only 2.5 games behind their division, I guess you could call it a rival, a division foe in the Kansas City Royals, that is a little surprising to me. I didn't think they would be that far behind for a wild card spot, and even tied with the Mariners, and ahead of Boston and Minnesota. So, kudos to the Detroit Tigers for everybody forgetting about them, including me. They've had some bad seasons, several bad seasons for a long time, ever since, their World Championship. But they're right in the mix of things. They really are. But nothing really has drastically changed on the AL side. And nothing really has drastically changed on the AL side. Now, as far as the NL, a couple of things are a little bit different. The Braves and the Mets, that's going to be pretty much the race on the NL side for the rest of this season. Can the Mets get past the Atlanta Braves for one of the 1-2 wild card spots? I thought the Mets for the last couple of months have played very well. Now, this past series in Philadelphia versus the Phillies, they got off to a very good start on Friday with a big time win, I think 11-3, but lost the game Saturday and Sunday and lost a little bit of steam or ground to probably put some distance between them and the Braves in the standings. But looking at the Mets overall, and especially what they went through earlier on in the season, they bounced back pretty nicely. Obviously, all the money that they're paying Francisco Lindor, he's having a very good, strong season with the Metropolitans, batting about 270-ish, 30-plus home runs, 31 home runs, 86 RBIs, scored 103 runs. Obviously, he's the clear-cut offensive leader on this team. Obviously, back behind home run slugger Pete Alonso at first base, who's batted about 240-ish throughout this season with 32 home runs and 81 RBIs. And they're getting the support, the contest from Nemo, Brandon Nemo, Jeff McNeil, J.D. Martinez, Harrison Bader. So they got some okay complementary pieces to help them compete for this NL wildcard spot they're trying to overcome with the Braves. Then also with the pitchers, so the two main pitchers from last season, we saw from last year when they added guys who pretty much have a good chance of going to the Hall of Fame with Verlander and Matt Scherzer, and they've been gone. They were supposed to right the ship with those older veteran pitchers, but bringing in Luis Severino from the Bronx, who's been all those years with the Yankees, is actually having a decent season. He's probably on pace to get to close to 100 innings pitched by the end of this regular season. 10-6 right now. Sean Manea 11-5, 165 innings pitched. So the Mets have actually put together a good formula to at least try to get to that wild card spot between them and the Braves. The Braves definitely took a step back, obviously with injuries. Guys not necessarily producing like they've had over the last couple of years. They've had a bunch of all-stars on that team, and the bats have just definitely quieted. And I thought last year they were almost damn near invincible, and even better than Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia knocking them out of their square or knocking them out of the postseason contention last year, I thought the Braves were to bounce back from that, and they haven't really clearly shown that they're the team to beat, or they haven't shown they were the team to beat in the NL. It's been all Philadelphia when it comes to that. So in the NL East, it's really about, okay, one of those two teams to get the wild card, right? And then you look at all the other teams. Like, I was watching a little bit of Milwaukee and Arizona over the weekend. Milwaukee's already been done, locked up the NL Central, right? And then on teams like in the NL West, where the San Diego have a chance against the Dodgers? I don't think so. San Diego, surprisingly, because as much as I've been riding for the Padres for the last couple of years, and all the guys that they, you know, traded in and traded out, it's been a revolving door as far as superstars in the city of San Diego. Right now, in prime position for a wild card spot. And do I think they're going to compete in the NL to beat the Dodgers? Anything could be possible with hot pitching. They definitely have a small chance. But once the players for the Dodgers get back and fully healthy, I mean, that's a stacked lineup. But anything could definitely happen, obviously. And speaking of, like I said, with the wild card implications, me watching a little bit of the Brewers, Arizona Diamondbacks over the weekend, Arizona, eventually the ship had to right itself. They were doing so bad, and everybody had a lot of expectations of them last year. You thought that was going to come over or carry over since their World Series berth versus the Texas Rangers. This particular team got off to a very slow start, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they figured it out or picked it up over the course since the All-Star break, and they really got back into the mix of things to leapfrog the Atlanta Braves and leapfrog the New York Mets. So it's really two games where you hopefully, if you're a Braves fan or a Mets fan, hopefully Arizona has some down series, some down baseball, particularly versus their NL rival in the San Diego Padres. Now, it all depends on how you want to look at it. And by means on how you want to look at it, if you are a Mets fan or a Braves fan, you have to pick one team, and I would assume in this position, outside the tiebreakers, because I don't know the tiebreaker situation like I should know right now. If you are the Mets or the Braves, you are hoping, with only pretty much a little bit over 2 weeks left in the regular season, you have to pick a team and stick with them. Hopefully, they go on a slump. And in this case, I would think the Brave fan or the Met fan is leaning on San Diego to collapse. Now, they have a four-game series in Milwaukee, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have really the last series with the San Diego Padres you want to keep an eye on. You would hope that the San Diego-Arizona series, the last series that's going to take place in Phoenix, that the Brave fan and the Met fan hope that San Diego sweeps them. And whatever Atlanta and the Mets do, they have to control their own destiny up until that point. Basically saying, okay, if you're the Braves or the Mets, okay, San Diego, you're at the top spot, not by a lot, but if you continue to hold pace or hold suit as far as what you do, then let's hope that the Arizona Diamondbacks come back down to earth. Maybe they lose the series. They lose 2 out of 3 to Colorado. They lose 3 out of 4 to Milwaukee. They somehow lose 2 out of 3 at home versus San Francisco, and the same thing at least 2 out of 3 to San Diego for you to have a shot for the wild card situation. So that is the NL Central. That's the NL wild card race right now, where the two teams in the West had the two top spots, and then you got Atlanta and the Mets trailing Arizona for that last play-in situation. Now, the Cubs are out of it, obviously. I think they're done, and unfortunately for them, because they were having big things, last season as far as how they finished strong. But the Cubs, there's a couple of more teams. The Giants, the Reds, all these other teams, the Pirates, they've been done. They're going to be in the same situation with Colorado and the Nationals as far as they're eliminated from playoff contention. It is really between San Diego, Arizona, Atlanta, and the New York Mets and for the wild card position. And that's pretty much summary level with the baseball as far as race, wild card race. Divisions are pretty much locked up right now as we see it. I think they have so many things to looking forward to, man. It's a fortunate. We'll see what happens with the Mets and the Braves, especially how they deal with the NL wildcard situation. And the last and certainly not least on the Blues Day Recap Edition here on the Bleed Blue Show. Major League Soccer, got to catch up on it. There was so much things going on in soccer this year. It was CONCACAF, obviously, MLS. You had the, I guess you could call it the FIFA Cup around the world with all the countries. So it's so many players and so many circuits across different leagues, just intertwining individual tournaments, CONCACAF tournaments, FIFA, countries and stuff like that. So getting back to the MLS side, when you look up, this is what everybody was expecting when Messi came over and joined Inter Miami at the end of last year, and they were so down in the standings that they could never make up ground to make the playoffs. So we say, okay, well, going to the first full season, next season for the Miami Football Club, they're at the top of the heap in the East, and backed by the FC Cincinnati team, who was struggling out of the gate, first of all, because remember I talked about that months ago at the start of the season when they lost to Toronto at home, and we were looking at it like, oh man, the hell is a real rival game between them and Columbus, and how they lost to Columbus in the Eastern Conference Finals, and how they bowed out, and how FC Cincinnati was going to come back. And they've made some strong cases in the last July and August to catch up the top of the Eastern Conference for in MLS. And now let's give props to the Red Bulls, who are holding the serve as well. MLS, the Rebels have been strong all season. I think they had a game. It was, I think, earlier this year they were in Houston and they did very well. The game in St. Louis, that's another team that did a total 180 from last year to this year. But on the MLS side, Miami 10 plus points in stand is better than FC Cincinnati, and then you got FC Cincinnati, who is still a very strong football club. Out in the West, you know, I am happy to an extent for LA Galaxy fans. They're 7 points better than their intra-city rival, LAFC. The Galaxy, they actually started off strong too, because I remember that game, the second game of the year, will be for Inter Miami, where they went to LA after the first game versus Real Salt Lake, and they beat them, the LA Galaxy. So LA Galaxy, who has a lot of championships, but has some bad years with management and also their fans out there in Carson, California. But the Galaxy, definitely at the top of the West, where they've been along for a long time, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, at the infancy of this sport or this league. But what I also noticed, and I was saying this just now, like St. Louis City, the biggest turnaround, you know, they didn't really have a lot of points per se, as far as a conference leader, like they did in the West last year, finishing in first place. But they only have 28 points this year. I mean, that is a big drop off from last year to this year, and especially with all the expectations after year number one. But, I mean, it's been a top-heavy-led season with the scoring. Outside of DC United's Christian Benneke with the 19 goals, I mean, this list as far as leading goal scorers right now in MLS is either from Inter Miami or LAFC. And these are the two teams that are on top of the heap in their respective conferences. You have also Christian Arango from Real Salt Lake, who's had a nice season with 17 goals. And you had Dennis Bernarda, Luis Suarez, who's the running mate right now. He's a dangerous goal scorer from South America, with Messi as well. Tied with 17 goals, with Lionel Messi with 17 goals, both on Inter Miami. Then if you look out on the LAFC side, you have Moetes Bogus with 14 goals. I mean, these are four of the six top scorers are on the top two, you know, top two of the top teams in the and Major League Soccer right now. So looking forward to how things are going to play out as far as playoff seasons. The sport should get definitely a buzz, or that Messi buzz, now with Inter Miami, the darlings Inter Miami for Apple TV in the Eastern Conference. They are probably going to be the perennial favorite to win the 2024 MLS Cup. This is what Major League Soccer wants. This is the boost they're going to try to get, especially with the TV rights with Apple TV, to get the promotion of everybody to come over and watch the league. So That's pretty much a summary level. I'll get more into the weeds of Major League Soccer, as well as the more of the weeds week to week as we get through the Major League Baseball season before the end of September. Last sport I want to talk about, and I was watching the Canelo fight over the weekend, right? Watching the Canelo fight, and he looks as prime as ever. Hopefully he's not juicing or he's not on drugs. I mean, that is the one thing that could set back his legacy, right? But when you look at Canelo Alvarez, especially his weight and what he's been doing at his 34, 35-year-old age at the middleweight position or the division, has been fucking nothing but phenomenal. Just really sharp on his punches, his uppercuts, his hooks. He worked Baruga from Puerto Rico. I mean, he's a nice young fighter too. Strong, he got knockout power. Knocked out a lot of dudes in his first rounds of his fight. But this is a different animal. Canelo Alvarez, that fight, I think it was in T-Mobile at the in Las Vegas, Nevada. But what a way for Canelo Alvarez to once again give fighters or give fight fans the fights that everybody needs to be doing. And to try to compete with UFC, because UFC dominates the combat sporting arena in North America. Boxing is just a shell of itself with the promotions. But at least Canelo Alvarez is giving you multiple fights a year. At least he's doing that. And then also on that undercard, RIP to Danny Garcia. What a... That, wow, that was a disgrace, man. Losing to Lara, the long fighting Cubano. His 41-year-old age, and he's a solid fighter, but Danny Garcia just no longer has it. Stopped the fight on a stoppage with that, kept on punching and jabbing in that right eye and made Danny Garcia quit. And it's so fortunate because he's been in a lot of conversations on a welterweight level pretty much welterweight for the majority of his career, of one of the top guys and who he would have fought. And he should have been fighting and all that. It's put on some good fights in Brooklyn over the years, especially at Barclays. But RIP to Danny Garcia's career on this extended version or on this version of the Blues Day recap with boxing, Major League Soccer, and MLB. But that's going to be it for today. Just a quick PSA on my thoughts on the standings in Major League Baseball, top level as how we see it. Same thing with Major League Soccer. It's pretty much been an inner Miami's world, especially since the day Lionel Messi came over to the inner Miami Football Club, and then also boxing Canelo, pretty much holding up the sport by its thread when nobody else wants to goddamn fight because of politics. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, here on the Bleep Blue Show. This is the recap, man. Get back to sports. Sangre su, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.